So, hello, good evening, hearties and guest hearties alike. Welcome to the first Q&A mentoring call of the Business from the Heart Experience Week 2024. Woohoo! So, the aim of this session this evening is to give you an absolute direct experience of what it's like to attend one of the mentoring calls within the membership itself. So, there is a lot more to the membership than you're going to see this week, because this week you're going to be getting a daily lesson or training in the morning, and then you're going to get two of these mentoring Q&A calls, hot seats tomorrow evening. We've got a member meetup on Wednesday lunchtime, and then on Friday I'm going to do a power of focus session and another Q&A. So it's a bit of a mixture, mindset, practical. The aim of this session, as I said, is to give you an experience of what a mentoring call is like. We have one of these per month within the regular membership. And just to sort of recap on the week itself and how I've set up the week, the idea is that in the morning, you get your, I call it your daily lesson. It's always so hard to know what to call these things, isn't it? It sounds like it's school, but you get your daily lesson. And this is where I'm trying to convey or teach key business principles as I see business. I've been running my business and also supporting and teaching and mentoring small business owners now. I'm in my 13th year, I think. I even lose count sometimes, but I think I'm in my 13th year. And I think that 13th year ends in November, so coming up to my 13-year anniversary, believe it or not. And I really feel that there's a clarity that I've developed about the business journey, what works, why it works when it does, why it doesn't work when it doesn't work, how to know what order to do things for best results. And I know that when I was starting my business, and not just starting, but the first 4 years or so, nobody taught me this way. And I'm not going to say there is nobody else out there that teaches like this, but I don't know of them. Of course, there's zillions upon the planet. There's probably others as well. And I found that I was very much reliant on, I was constantly in this fog of not knowing, not understanding, confusion, not knowing what I needed to do next, not knowing why to do things, not even understanding how to price my services to be profitable. And I was very much at the mercy of my business mentors. I would invest large sums of money, and there's nothing wrong with doing that. I've done that many times. But I would invest large sums of money to be told, if you want your business to work, you must do this. Very prescriptive, very my way or the highway. And if you don't do it this way, it won't work. And so for the first 5, maybe 6 years, that's what I did. I did what I was told. And I actually built an on paper successful business. And it was, when I say successful, it was financially successful. It was a six-figure turnover business. It was successful because my clients got results and were very satisfied with what they received from me. But where it wasn't successful was how it felt to me. It always felt really heavy. That's the best reason I can give. It felt really heavy. And it was because I basically put my ladder up against the wrong wall of business, because I didn't have anyone guiding me to find what feels true for me, what's going to feel light and easy. And for me, what feels really good for me and what I really love above everything else. I love two, the two things I love most of all really are running my membership, the Business from the Heart membership, a low cost membership, and it runs all year round. There's no break. It doesn't stop for a month in August. And some people would find that incredibly heavy and a huge responsibility. But for me, I love it. And I also love, I've only recently started doing this again after a break of about 5 or 6 years. But I also really love working one-to-one with my clients, really getting deep and up close and like just really digging in and working on stuff with them. But for you, it might be different. And you building your business to replicate mine might not make you happy. And so, this is where these core business principles have come from, which is this is how it works, right? This is the way business works. But you just can't see it because nobody's taught you and nobody taught me. And it's taken me a really long time to see it in the way that I do. So the daily lessons intended to impart the information, really, and have you have aha moments, insights, breakthrough moments where you go, oh my gosh. And I know quite a few of you had these this morning, listening to the introduction to the Business from the Heart pathway. You had this, oh my gosh, I'm at this stage. That's why it feels so difficult. I'm not going to give up. I understand now it's a journey, and that it's normal for it to feel tough in this stage. And now I'm sort of it encourages you. It doesn't necessarily suddenly change everything. You've still got to do all the work, but it changes the way it feels. So that's what I'm doing in the mornings. And then these sessions in the evenings are to give you the direct experience of what it's like to be in the membership and much more about, a more deep dive, more subtle distinctions, help personalizing my advice, helping you see how you can apply what you're hearing in the mornings to your own business. But you can bring whatever questions you want. What if you have got a question, bring it. If you haven't got a question, but you feel stuck, come and speak about that. If you don't even know what you need to ask, you just know that things aren't working quite the way you'd like them to, bring that. So I'm going to explain how the call works in just a second. First thing I want to say before then is that you get a couple of goodies by being here. So those of you that are here live, and we know who you are because Zoom tells us, but if your Zoom name is very different to your email address or your name that you registered with, please type in you oh, what can you do? Yeah, just type into the comments and let us know, and then we'll pick that up tomorrow. So we just need to make sure that we know you're here, but we only know you're here because of the email address connected to your Zoom account and your name. So, like, let's say you're borrowing your partner's Zoom account and it's a very different name, then just let us know that. The fact of being here, I'm going to share with you a link a little bit later in the session where you can go and download an infographic of the Business from the Heart pathway. So you can see those stages of business, the key aims, and you can see some of the milestones. Now, I needed the infographic to look tidy, so I just showed five milestones per stage. There are more milestones than that within the membership, but it gives you, I put the key milestones. And also, those of you that are here this evening attending in person, you're being put into a prize draw, do-do-do-do, and you will win a 15-minute laser mentoring one-to-one with me that you can take later this week or early next week. I think that's the time frame. And we will draw that out of Angie, who's my membership manager and also my business manager now. She will draw your name from a virtual hat tomorrow. It is completely random. And then we'll announce that in the group tomorrow. Also, by being here, you have 1 point for the prizes, the main, the big prizes that we're offering, the 6 months and the 12 months annual membership, the one-to-one mentoring with me, the one-to-one mentoring with our resident experts from within the membership, the courses, the goodies, my favorite books, all of that sort of thing. You get 1 point for being here. You can get another point for capturing the secret word and putting it on your secret word form. And I've got a timer on my phone to make sure that I don't forget. So at a certain point of this session, I'll be giving your secret word. And you can also get another point by going over after the session and sharing. There's going to be a takeaway post in the Facebook group and sharing in the Facebook group what you took away from this session. Because I love to see that. I read them all. I love to see the insights, the ahas, the takeaways. But also, when other people see your takeaways, it encourages them to come and watch the recording. And then they get the benefit and they get the goodness as well. So the way these calls work, so Fernanda is Jane Unsworth. Thank you, Jane. And yes, thank you, Jane. And I know you, don't I? Know your name. I know you. We've worked together in the past. So how it works in the membership is if you have a question, you type in a capital Q, and then you type in the question or the thing you want help with. But here's the secret: you do it in one sentence, not five paragraphs or an essay, one sentence, one statement. So capital Q question or capital Q statement. Statement might just be, I feel stuck. I need you to help me get clear. Or it could be a very specific question. And the reason for that is that sometimes if there's a lot of people on the call and you're chatting in the chat box with each other, I can't tell which are questions and which are comments. So it helps me, but it also helps us. We timestamp the questions. So in the membership, after the session, we always put the questions with the timestamps up with the recording so that if you can't make it live, you can just go and you can look down the list of the things that got talked about and you can decide which of those feels directly relevant to you and just hop in and listen to the bits that interest you. And then what I do normally is I will come on and I ask you, the way it runs in the membership is I ask you to unmute yourself and introduce yourself. The reason I do that, and you don't have to do it, and you don't have to do it today if you don't feel comfortable, but the reason I do it in the membership is because when you come on and speak with me and you talk about your business, I get to know you better. And the more I get to know you, the more precise I can be with the advice that I'm giving you. But it also helps our other members get to know you. And, business is, a lot of the success in business is about your network. And so the more of our members that understand what you do, the more likely you are to gain clients, referrals, opportunities, and so on. So I always say, coming on these calls is always like a PR opportunity. It's an opportunity to expand the network of people who know what you do, even if you're right at the beginning and you're still figuring it out. And it also helps people to support you. If people know what you do, they've put a face and a human to the name that they see in Facebook. It helps people feel more connected to you and therefore be more supportive in the Facebook group when you need help. So, with all of that said, I don't normally take quite this long to set up the calls in the membership because we have them every month, so everyone knows what's happening. And so, yeah, lovely to see everybody here. So, we've got a few of our regular members here and a few people who are our guest hearties. So our regular members are our hearties for business from the heart, and then our guest hearties are those of you who are here for the week. And I will, of course, the reason I do this is because I want to highlight what's available and what's on offer in the membership. I want to give you a taste of that. And then I want to invite you to come and join. And it will be entirely up to you whether you do that or not. Some of you will spend the week here and you'll learn a lot and you'll be, thank you very much. That's all I need right now. Others of you will recognize that you want this sort of support month in, month out, all the way through the year and have this help growing your business. And for those of you, there will be an opportunity. I think tomorrow evening, I know it's, don't ask me why, I don't know, but I think it's tomorrow evening that I will be opening up the membership, and then you have, the rest of the, so there'll be no pressure. I'll open the membership and there will be no pressure because you've got the whole rest of the week. It's not going to be one of those things where I go, right, I'm opening it now, you've got 5 minutes, and then it's closed again. It's not one of those. There is a deadline, but it's not quite such a tight deadline. So yeah, thank you everyone for typing in and sort of letting us know who you are. And hello, Monica, one of our existing members who says, always new information lands with me. Evgenia, oh, you are here. Wonderful. You had a question, didn't you? Did you want to cover your question while you're actually here? And if you do, would you like to unmute yourself and come and speak, or is that not possible for you? Because I know you're a busy mum.
Yeah. Finally, it's actually good timing. Thank you so much. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me okay? Yes, perfect. Thank you. So my question was
Actually, do you want
maybe
to
it benefits those who
can I just ask you first to introduce yourself and let people know what you're doing in your business? What your business is about. I know you're at the early
well,
stages, but still, it's nice for people to get the
yes,
context.
absolutely. Sure. So my name is Evgenia, and
Now I can't hear her. However,
can you hear me now? Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes, but it's not going to be good enough, I'm
Can you hear
afraid.
me?
I can hear you. Yeah, go
Okay,
on,
all
try
right,
again.
maybe. Okay, fine. So I used to have a coaching business where I helped professionals this career from so mostly nurses who wanted to leave clinical practice. But that
Okay, right. I'm going to take over from there because actually Evgenia sent her question in because she didn't think she'd be here in person. And her question was, and some of you may relate to this, what would you suggest to those who are still in full-time employment but looking to build their own service-based business? She says, I once heard that working on a new business as just a side thing will always keep it as a hobby, and that if you want to build a proper business, you should be doing it full time. Right, I'm going to be a bit cheeky here, but I'm going to say, sounds like a man may have given you that advice. Now, not necessarily a man, but it's more about the feminine, masculine energy. There are some people who have that natural energy of, just burn the bridges and it'll work out, or just take a leap. And this is all very well, but Evgenia is, as she said it here, she hasn't said it here, but I'm pretty sure she said somewhere, I think perhaps we haven't copied the whole question across properly, that she is a single mum. Now, I think she's a single mum. So when Evgenia takes the leap and burns her bridges because someone's told her you'll never be a success if you're only doing it on the side, she's risking, she says she's got 12 to 18 months of savings to keep her afloat. But that's a lot of pressure to be under. And I know that certainly myself, I'm very highly sensitive. I'm prone to anxiety and over-worry about things. I know that for me, if I did that, I would probably put myself into such a state of anxiety and my nervous system would be on such high alert that I'd be in such a spiral of anxiety that I wouldn't be able to make clear decisions. I'd be constantly taking knee-jerk actions because I'd need it to work so urgently that I'd be doing this thing and I'd be doing that thing, I'd be doing the other thing. Whereas actually to build a genuinely sustainable business, you really have to build it one brick at a time. And you'll actually build a more sustainable long-term business going a little bit more slowly. And so I would say that that's not good advice. I don't agree with the advice that you've had, is that if you want to build a proper business, you should do it full time. Otherwise, it's only going to be a hobby. I don't agree with that. I can see where the argument is coming from because, of course, if you've got all day, every day, 5, 6, 7 days a week to work on your business, of course, you're going to make it happen quicker. Although it's actually for some people, it's the opposite. If they have all of that time, they just procrastinate. And if they're doing it alone from home and they've got no interaction with other people, they don't take the actions. So it doesn't even follow that if you've got all the time, you will make it happen, but you're more likely to make it happen. But I believe that if you're really committed to creating the business, that you can. You have to do it very carefully. You've got to be very mindful about how you use your time, and you do need to be committed, but that you can build that business around the full-time work. Now, the ideal would be, and I think it was Tabitha in the Facebook group replied to your post over there, that if you can go part-time, that would be the ideal. If you could go down to 3 days a week, 4 days a week, even 4 days a week would give you one day a week to work on your business. But let's imagine that you don't. So one of the clients I was working with privately in the last few months is in full-time employment and is growing her business on the side. Now, to be fair, she's not a single mum. She's a single woman with no ties and responsibilities. But her aim is to build the business around on the side around her day job, and then when she hits a certain income target, to then leave. And this is where it comes back to things like pricing. If you need the security of knowing that you're earning a certain amount of money before you leave your day job, you need to actually design your business so that you're getting paid accordingly. So let's say you need 6,000 a month to replace the income that you're getting from your corporate work. it's going to be a lot of work to replace that income selling £500 packages. But if you were to price your packages at, say, £1,500, you'd only need to sell four in a month. If you were to sell your pack price your packages at £2,000, you'd only need to sell three a month. And so if you're working full time, it's probably more important that you can set healthy pricing. But it's also about starting where you are, because sometimes you have to get comfortable charging. And it might be more a matter of, okay, I'm going to give myself 12 months. I'm going to give myself 12 months to transition from where I am right now to the point where I feel that I could trust my business enough to either give up my full-time work or go to part-time. But like I said, it would be ideal if you can go to part-time straight away. That would be the ideal, and give yourself one extra day. And that might be recognizing, okay, I'm giving myself a year, and I know, and right now I don't feel comfortable charging more than X amount because, so Evgenia did have a coaching business and then has gone back to full-time work, has raised a child, and so there's a little bit of confidence that's not there. It might be a matter of, well, okay, I want to build up my confidence, so I'm going to start charging a little bit less to begin with. I'm going to charge what feels really comfortable for me. I might get my first two clients at that lower price point, but now I've proved to myself that I know how to attract the clients. And that I have a sales process that works, and that I know how to have that enrollment conversation with them. And now that I've done that at this price point, I feel a lot more confident about the future of the business. And then you can start to increase the pricing until you're at a level, and you might decide something like, I know I need, and I've got no idea what the figure is for Evgenia. It could be 2,000 a month, it could be 10,000 a month. I've just decided 6,000 for the sake of the example. You might decide to go, okay, when I'm reasonably consistently doing about 3,000 a month, that's when I'll quit my job. Because if I'm reasonably consistently doing 3,000 a month, or even 2,000 to 3,000 a month, that's enough for me to know that I can trust that if I now had all the extra time, I had the extra 4 or 5 days, that I could very easily ramp it up. And I think to actually quit your job before you're in a place where you sense that you've got trust in the thing that you're stepping into, which is the new business, you're putting your own mental health at risk. And especially if you're a single mum, you've got to be thinking about the welfare of your kids as well. I just think that you'd be and we're all different. We're all completely different. I said earlier, and it's a bit cheeky of me, I think that was a man that gave that advice. Some women would give that advice. Some men would also feel too much anxiety to do it. So it's not necessarily a male-female thing, but I think it's definitely, when we talk about masculine, feminine energies, it's definitely in that zone. So I don't know if Evgenia is still there, if that is helpful. If you are, type in and let me know. Oh, she is there listening, and she says, it would only be 2,500 to get by. So in that case, perhaps, and I'm just having to guess. So Evgenia did my course years ago, like one of, I think, the very first intake or the second intake. So we're going back about 12 years, and I've had no contact with her in that intervening time. And then she's popped up and joined this group. And so I'm just mostly guessing with my responses. In that case, you might decide that you're going to set your initial program or package at £1,250, and you're going to aim to sell two of those. And when you can trust that you're selling two of those a month, that's when you can trust that you could leave. And it's not that difficult. I mean, it is difficult, but it's not that difficult really in theory. Now, within the membership, those of you who do decide to join the membership as a result of this week, one of the things that I do within the first couple of weeks of you joining is I run a vision and planning workshop. And this is one of the things we do in the vision and planning workshop. We look at what are those. We look at what your financial figures are. We look at what's your ultimate financial target, what's your first financial milestone, and what's your break-even figure. And obviously, for Evgenia, that break-even figure is 2,500. She says, that's what I'd need to get by. And then we look at how can you create a package or program that's designed so that you can see that you could sell a certain amount that would hit that target. So it might be sell two packages or programs for 1,250 each. But if you are somebody who's like, oh, I'm right at the beginning of my business. It doesn't feel an integrity to charge that much yet. I don't really feel that connected with my value. Then it might be that you decide to start off with a £500 package and sell five of those to begin with, knowing that you're going to be working your pricing up to a more sort of healthy level. And we all find our place in that. You know, some people have a core program at what I call very standard pricing. Other people operate at a high ticket level. For others of you, you might have a core program and then you'll have your premium or high ticket level. And I always recommend that even if you work at a more sort of standard core program pricing to keep your work more accessible, that you always have a premium offer, a premium level program for those clients that actually want to pay you more, to have more support, more access to you, a more high touch experience, maybe a more luxury experience. There is a training in the members area on how to create your premium offer. So, yeah, thank you for that. And Jane says, I know a teacher who dropped one day a week and used that day to coach clients, and then from there built the practice and kept dropping days. And that's the ideal. Sadly, not every business will allow you to do that. So some people are very lucky, they'll have an employer that will allow them to drop days. For other people, it ends up being an all or nothing decision. And then another in between that some people do is to take other work to tide them over. So when I was starting this business, I'd already quit my job, but I needed income while I built this business because I had absolutely no idea what I was doing with this business. I was totally clueless. But I didn't understand marketing. I didn't understand pricing, business models, all the stuff I teach now, didn't understand any of it. But what I did know and what I could do was I knew how to sell. And so I had two freelance sales roles that I did from home. And those two freelance sales roles, they were both commission only, but they brought in the money that I needed to live off while, and I was still working about 5 hours a day. So I was still trying to build my business with what little energy I had left over after I'd done those. But it gave me that, you know, that it gave me that base income that some of us need in order to feel secure. So I didn't have children, but I was also single. Nobody else was going to pay to put my roof over my head or my food in my fridge if I didn't have any money coming in. So I did have that pressure to bring the money in my case. Okay, so let's go on to some more questions. And yes, says Evgenia, it was a male coach. I know I could get myself into all sorts of trouble. Like we've got Taggart here and we've got Anthony here, and I'll be getting into all sorts of trouble for saying things like that. But yes, I thought it might be. Okay, so then Cornelia has put in a question as well. So Cornelia, did you want to come on and introduce yourself first? Come on, hopefully, if you've got a good internet connection, just come on, introduce yourself, unless you don't want to, which is also fine. In which case,
I'll give it a try.
okay, great. Yeah, please start. Just introduce yourself. Let us know what you do so we have sort of
Yeah.
your question.
So my name is Cornelia. I'm 46 and I'm from Germany. Earlier this year, I lost my corporate job and decided to go for my long online business dream. And now I coach women who are highly sensitive in actually realizing their potential, because I think highly sensitive people have a lot of potential. And but often can't access it and use it as a superpower, and so that's what I teach exactly. And I'm a trained mindfulness coach and also yoga teacher, and I combine these approaches with creativity approaches, and I've also studied philosophy, so that's a really creative mix of tools that I use. And I'm in the very, very early stages of my online business, obviously. And I've been observing a couple of launches recently. I have not launched myself because my email list is still very tiny, but my impression is that end consumers who are currently my target group are reluctant to invest in themselves, maybe in general. I have no feeling for that, but also like my feeling is that maybe people are more price sensitive than they used to be with the current economic situation. And I was really curious to hear your opinion on that.
Okay, I am going to share my opinion, but what I'm curious about is why that's a concern for you now.
I'm in an online business training, and we've been enticed or invited or recommended to prepare a launch. And I know it's still too early for me because my list is too small, but like in that course, that would be the next goal. And I'm hesitant to put an offer out because I've seen other people try and not be very successful with it. So I'm unsure what kind of offer to put out once I reach an email list size of, say, 500.
Okay. Oh, so many places we could go from that. What size is your email list?
150 people.
Okay. So, right. There's so many directions we could go in, but what I want to ask you is, so are you going to wait until you feel that the economy is strong and healthy and everyone's feeling like they've got lots of money before you launch your course?
No, the idea is more like what kind of offer can I put out that's a good fit for people that they can say yes to?
Okay, great. So that's the right sort of thinking. So I'm going to answer your question now, which is yes. So in the world that I'm connected with, where I've been running an online business for 13 years, I'm in mentoring programs, masterminds, I've got peers. Definitely people are reporting that they're finding it harder to sell right now than they have done previously. They're finding that they're having smaller launches, not as many people are buying. And that isn't like a, this doesn't mean like the whole market is broken. It's just an economic cycle. Now, I've been here for 13 years, so I've been through other economic cycles. I've been through previous times when it's been like this, and I'm still here. So, yes, there's a reality that people, I think that for a lot of people, even people who earn relatively decent amounts of money, everyone's finding that their money isn't going as far as it used to go. And even just this morning, me and my best friend were sending WhatsApp messages to each other. We don't speak super often when we update each other. And she was saying, her and her husband run a business together, and she said, we're probably earning the same amount of money that we were earning like 8 years ago, but there's not enough. There's not enough. It doesn't go as far anymore. And I think a lot of people are finding that. And I think, and so there is less of a feeling of, oh, I've got this disposable income, I can just fling it at anything. People are thinking twice about whether they really want to invest money in things, which brings us back around to what you just said, which is, how do I create something that people would really value and that people really want to buy? Well, the truth of it is, you should be doing that in any economy. Like, just because some people might throw money at, like, honestly, when people are really flush, because I've been here through all the cycles, when people are really flush, they'll drop £3,000 on a program and say, oh, I did it just because I liked her. Like, literally, I liked her. I like her energy, so I thought I'd have coaching with her. That's less likely to happen now. And I think it is harder to sell something where it's not really clear what the value is. And I also, my own mentor talks about, the fact that if we wind back a few years, it was a lot of people were able to very quickly grow multi six figure, seven figure online businesses. That's not happening as much anymore, but that we can still have really healthy, like, lifestyle businesses where we do good work and we get well paid. We just might not hit the seven figures. So I guess I'm saying, yes, I think it is. And I say I think because I haven't directly experienced it myself yet. I have not directly experienced this, but it's what I'm hearing anecdotally from other people. And I just would really want to encourage anyone from, don't not start your business because you think that people are not spending money and the economy's difficult. Because, the thing is, if you can start your business now, your business is going to thrive when things feel a bit easier financially. And the important thing is, as Cornelia has just said, you have, and I bang on about this constantly in the membership. It's my the thing that I go on about all the time. People have got to see the value in both paying for and investing the time it's going to take them to get the result that you're offering with your work. And if it just sounds nice to have, or a bit woolly, or a little bit nice, and they quite like you, oh, Cornelia's really nice, it'd be nice to hang out with her on Zoom, it's just not going to be enough. And connected with that, when you introduced yourself, I hope you don't mind. I know we're just meeting. So I guess when I'm in the membership and members are paying me monthly, I feel like I've almost got their permission a little bit more to be more direct. But it's a little just to sort of reflect back that when I asked you what you do, you started out beautifully in helping highly sensitive people to achieve their full potential. But then you kept on talking about all the other things that you do, and somehow we lost that initial. We lost somehow by the time you'd finished explaining it all, the thing you'd said that had impact had sort of got lost amongst everything else. And so, yeah, be really tightly focused on who it is you help and how you help them. And I do feel that there's a market for what you offer. You know, I'm a highly sensitive person myself. Yes, I do run a business and I've run it for 13 years and I've had a level of success or I wouldn't be here. But I also know that there have been many, many, many opportunities that I have let just pass me by because I haven't had the energetic capacity to say yes to them. And I worked with a healer about 18 months ago, and she said that the vision she had for me was that I was sitting in a chair and these opportunities kept flying past, and I would just be like, oh, they're like, oh, there it goes. And then I recognize the truth in that, and it's because I have ongoing health issues and sense that I'm, you know, highly sensitive, limited energy. I can an opportunity can come towards me, and just as I recognize it as a good opportunity, I can also push it away because I'm like, oh, you know, what's that going to take? So I feel like there really is something particularly possibly business owners and helping other business owners really achieve their potential despite their sensitivity.
Yeah, it certainly rings true. It's interesting because I've considered changing my approach from people who work in corporations to other business owners. That's really interesting that you bring it up. And
Yeah.
thank you for a very detailed assessment of the market situation.
No, you're welcome. And it's not, I mean, I'll be honest, I'm not an expert in it. I'm not somebody who follows what's happening in the economy closely. I'm just a business owner who's plugged into other business owners, and I hear that generally people are finding it much tougher than they have before. But it doesn't mean that and I'm sure some businesses won't survive because some businesses are very much in the, oh, that's nice to have. And some businesses will have a smaller turnover than they had last year or the year before. But it doesn't mean that they're going to fail, and it doesn't seem to me to be a good enough reason to not start. And it's also like I used to say very often, and I know this isn't really you, but you've got me on a track now, and with other people listening, it's always useful. One of the things that people often come with when they're new to business and they're with a one-to-one business is this feeling of, you know. Where am I going to get all the clients? I need all these clients. How am I going to attract all these clients? And there's this idea that somehow the idea is that all these clients that they're going to have to attract. And when you really break it down, if it's a one-to-one business and the pricing is healthy, and I ask them to work out for you to hit your ideal financial target this year, how many clients would you actually need? They might come back and say, oh, well, actually, 20 clients or 25 clients or 30 clients. And it's like, okay, now how do you feel about going out and finding 20 to 30 clients? It feels completely different. And so instead of this feeling of people are not buying as easily and therefore, oh, all these people that are not going to want to buy from me. Focus on how many people do you need to buy from you in order for your business to be financially viable? And then ask yourself, do you think that there might be, like, your answer might be 50 or 100? Let's say it's 100. And then we can ask, do you think that out there in the pla on the planet right now, there are 100 people who have the financial means and the willingness to invest that money? Of course there is. So, just if it's generally harder, it doesn't mean that we can't still fill our programs and we can't still generate the clients for our businesses to be financially viable. It just might mean that this year it's a 100K business instead of a 200K business. But, I don't know. I can't predict. I don't know how many Ks you're going to do this year. Okay. Thank you for your question anyway. Thanks. Okay, so great. This is good. Well, each question is triggering some other questions. So now my alarm went off because that was to remind me to give you two things. So first of all, the pathway. So I said I'd give you a link where you can go and download the Business from the Heart pathway. And I'll pop the link in there. So you can either swipe the link. Probably the easiest thing is to click on the link and then it will open up for you and you can download and print that off and keep it. And then the other thing is your secret word for your secret word form. And your secret word for today, I'll type this one in as well. Your secret word for this evening, very in keeping with my values and how I like to do business, is kindness. So your link to your form and your secret word for your secret word form is kindness. Yeah. And actually, just coming back to what I was talking about with Cornelia, this just emphasizes more than ever, like the things that I talk about within the membership, the absolute core things, having a message that helps you stand out so that the people who need and want your help and will benefit from your help understand what it is you do and naturally gravitate towards you. And then having ways to communicate what you do in such a way that your ideal client hears you and their internal response is, oh my gosh, I think I want that. You have to have that feeling of, and you know this, right? I'm going to say, especially ladies going shopping, you know that you have to have the feeling of, oh, I think I want that. You don't even, okay, I was in a shop yesterday. I was in a clothes shop. This is why it's in my awareness. You might walk past a dress. Now you're only going to go and look at the price of on the price tag of the dress if that dress has already caught your eye and you've gone, oh, that looks lovely. You're not going to go and look at the price of everything that looks ugly to you. And so your client isn't ever going to buy from you unless they already have this internal feeling of, I want that thing. And this is where a lot of people are not learning how to communicate the value of the thing that they offer, communicating the benefits to the client, really articulating why buying this thing is a good idea, and what the impact might be for them to not buy it. Now, it's different selling one to one and selling one to many when you're selling a group program. They're quite different techniques and they're different skills. But ultimately, it comes down to the same thing that if you can articulate the value of what you offer, people will want to buy it if it's genuinely valuable to them. They want to buy it. And this is what you've got to get. You've got to get that. They want to buy it. That has to happen first. And then their brain has to go, oh, can I afford it? How much is it? Can I afford it? Can I take it out of that account? Oh, I promised my partner I wouldn't spend any more money until we've got a new kitchen. They have the financial conversation second. But if they already know they want it and you're skilled at that sales conversation, they're much more likely to justify to themselves the reason for making that investment. And like I said, if it's just nice to have, it's just not going to cut it at the moment. It's got to be something that people want to pay for and see the value in. Okay, great. So we have a question now from Tabitha. Which is about an email list. So, Tabitha, would you like to come and unmute and we can chat? Let us come introduce yourself and let us know what it is you do.
Hello, I'm Tabitha. I'm London-based and a social media manager, consultant, strategist, whatever end you want to put on the end there. I've been freelancing since 2018, but I've managed social media for a lot longer, since 2010, actually. So 14 long years of social media. I mainly do full-time management for clients, which is quite a nice way of freelancing because as you can, people generally want you to run their accounts monthly ongoing so you have regular income. But recently I've started breaking out into offering sort of one-to-one power hours type thing.
And your question is about, so brilliant. Well, I mean, what you do is brilliant. I'm like, where have you been hiding? We always need to know about people like you in the membership. And you said your question is about an email list, and you say, I'm constantly told an email list is essential for my business. I don't have one, but I do have a large social media audience. Okay, so I don't really need the answer to this question to answer the question, but I'm going to ask anyway, just to be to a specificity. Where is your large social media audience? Which platform?
Well, it's on Twitter, of course, which, I'm still very upset with what Musk has done to it. But I have 35,000 followers. And on the rare occasion I do tweet out that I have availability, I instantly get new clients. I can sell immediately if I need. So people are ready to, but I've built that up over more than a decade. It's there. I've got an audience who like me and
Yeah, I understand. Let me tell you why you need an email list.
oh no.
You have built your entire business on an asset that you don't own. It's like you'd built your house on land that belonged to me, and your land had sat there since 2018. Your house has sat there since 2018, and you feel really at home and comfortable and safe. And I'm going to come along and go, Tabitha, you've put your house on my land. I want my land back. I'm going to knock your house right down. It's my land. The problem you have is building your business on somebody else's platform is, what if your account got shut down? Elon Musk decided that he didn't like social media managers and he was going to kick you all off. Twitter just closes down because he gets bored. There's all sorts of reasons. I've seen so many people almost lose their business overnight. Now, I don't know Twitter as well because it's not a platform that is used as much these days by people in my business circles, and I don't use it anymore myself. I did used to, but I've known a lot of people almost lose their business because their Facebook or Instagram accounts got shut down basically overnight. And the reason for building an email list is really so that you own your own business asset. So imagine that all those 35,000 people were on your own email list. Nobody can ever take that away from you. Now, it would work in the same way. You've got the asset, you've got the list, you've got the people. So when you need a new client, you ping out a message on Twitter and you get the clients back, but you're just vulnerable because you don't own it. And so, I've got no idea. You'll probably still be running your Twitter account in 15 years' time, but you can't guarantee that you will, whereas you could guarantee if you owned your own email list. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. I mean that's not the only platform I have. Obviously, that's just where I have the largest following. I guess I could just get stuck on what exactly I would. What do you say to people? I don't
You don't have to set up an email list. You've asked my opinion. That's my
Hmm.
opinion. You get to choose. You get to
Yeah.
decide. You get to decide, well, I've been on Twitter for all these years. I can't imagine anything's going to change. I'm going to carry on as I am. But just be aware that that is the risk that you're
Oh,
taking. And that if, say, you wake up one day in 6 months' time and you no longer have a Twitter account, it's too late to do anything about it. Whereas right now, you still have the opportunity to be able to bring some of those people off Twitter and over onto a mailing list. So you could either decide to go, yep, I understand we do this all the time as humans, right? Yeah, I understand why that's sensible, but I'm not going to do it, right? That's just what we do. We make our choices, we weigh up our risks and our pros and cons, and we decide on balance, I'm happy to take. On balance, I'm happy to take that risk. If you did decide that you wanted to gradually bring people over, you could create a free lead magnet, free giveaway thing, and entice people over onto your mailing list. gradually. But that's the reason. I mean, that's the reason people recommend it. And then you get to decide whether you want to set one up or not. Did you say that you're switching into a different type of business? Or was it more just one-to-one?
I'm thinking about it. I've got some ideas that I want to sort of, that sort of would like some help with this week, or just to get some feedback. So yeah.
And do you want to share one of those ideas?
Oh gosh.
You don't have to.
I could, but I think I'm just aware of the time. It's would take There's a bit of a backstory there, and so I might wait to another time.
Okay, because I was just gonna, depending on what you said, it may be that with one of your new ideas, depending on what they are, that it might make sense to start them off in a different way. And it's hard to know that without understanding what they are, but it might be depending. When we talk about that, we can cover it then.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay,
Thank
great.
you.
Thank you. Thank you for your question. Okay, so just having a little scroll. Yeah, or hacked, says Ella. Sorry, Tabitha. The thing is, you asked the question and I'm not meaning to scare you. I'm just like telling you as I see it. And Ella is very pointing out, yes, hacked and stolen. This happens too. People get their accounts hacked and shut down, unfortunately. Jane is next. So Jane, would you like to unmute yourself and come and introduce? I can see your question is about moving to a new niche. So whether you feel you want to share what you currently do now, or whether you feel like that's in the, actually, I need to know both, don't I, for the conversation. So do you want to unmute yourself and come and tell us what it is you do right now?
Yeah, am I on camera,
You
Catherine?
are. You are, yes.
I couldn't see myself, but maybe that's how it what Zoom does that
Yeah,
you.
try to remind me what you do, because I do know what you do, but I don't want to guess and get it wrong.
Yeah, well, my thing developed into food cravings coaching and all of that malarkey. So, and
So
then,
you've been doing food cravings coaching,
yes.
and you now are thinking about moving to a new niche that.
Well, then this thing happened this year where I started thinking food, mood, money, because I think they kind of go together in my mind. And but what's happened is I've been working with people on the money and manifestation side, and I'm getting lovely results and I'm really enjoying it. It's just firing me up and I'm like, uh-oh. What's going on here? And my website is all about mostly food and of course behaviors and what have you. That is common ground. But it's just the idea of having to make more pages and this and that. And then, I've got a handle that's food cravings, specifically on Instagram, my name everywhere else, but I'm just in this, one foot in, one foot out place, and it's right now it's happening that I'm got this inner conflict going on, even though I think I know the answer, but I'm human.
Yeah, what is the conflict? As in, what is the fear of changing?
It's just I've invested so much time, so much content on the food side that it just feels like, oh, what? It's that. It's just that's kind of what I've put out there for so long.
And it's your bread and butter?
Ish, ish. It's not doing as well for me as I think this other. What I feel about the new idea is because my food side is controversial to, all the mainstream stuff and around weight, eating and food, that it's calories in, calories out. I don't agree with any of that. So I'm an educator as much as anything. And I feel it's a hard sell because there's such a machine against the modern thinking around looking after emotional eating in a different way to having to restrict things and this, that, and the other. I
So
hope that's making
how
sense.
do you feel, how would you like me to help on this call? Like what can I do
Just
So
to
how
be able to go
is
and take some deep breaths and get on with it.
so what you're saying, although you didn't say it, what you didn't say in all of that is actually in your heart, you know that this new money manifestation niche is what you want to do, but you have a resistance because you've put years and years into building up content and establishing yourself as a food cravings person. The food cravings is not necessarily, it's not so much that you're afraid of letting go the income. You're not afraid of letting go the income to switch to something new. It's more letting go. You've put, oh, there's a phrase for this, and I can't remember what sunk cost it's called. Have you heard a phrase called the sunk cost fallacy?
I just heard about it today.
Okay, and to, so you've just heard it today, and now you've heard it twice in one day.
Yes.
And then you're probably going to hear it tomorrow, and then you'll know that was the message you needed to hear. For anyone who's not familiar, I'm going to explain what it is, if that's okay. Because so the
Yes.
sunk cost fallacy is where we keep doing something that is no longer right for us and isn't working for us just because we've put so much into it already. And for me, my moment is not as extreme as Jane's because I hadn't put as much into it. But when I was in my late 30s, I decided that my calling, my passion was I wanted to be a nutritional therapist. That was clearly my future path. I knew it without any doubt. And I sold a flat in order to be able to afford to put myself back through university to do a master's degree over 2 years in nutritional therapy. I sold a property. I lost money on the sale because I sold it at the end of 2008. Don't even ask. I then spent a fortune supporting myself full time while I studied. I put hours and hours and hours and hours of work into this thing. And I got about 12 months in, and I'd done all my study, and now I was starting my clinical practice. And I just recognized that this is just not what I want to do. It's not actually my passion. I had health issues myself. It was my interest, but it wasn't what I wanted to do for work. And it was not an easy decision. But that for me was one of my sunk cost fallacy moments where I had to go, this is not the right path for me. And I have to be prepared to walk away that I have just sunk over £20,000 in this thing and 12 years of my life. And I'm going to walk away and I'm going to follow my heart. And I did. And that's why I'm here today. And it would be the same as, let's say, and it's really weird actually, because I've always, if you'd asked me 13 years ago, I would have said that this moment would have come by now. I would not have believed I'd still be doing this after 13 years. I would have believed that probably around 7 or 8 years, something new would have bubbled up for me and would have pulled me and called me. And it actually hasn't yet. But when it does, when that moment does, I will go through the same thing. 13 years, I've built up a reputation, I've got all this content, I've got this whole business, and it works. And so the sunk cost fallacy is where we won't walk away from something that's wrong for us because we've put so much in it already. But that's the fallacy because actually that's not serving us. So that's what I'm hearing from you. It's the sunk cost of what you've already put in. When you know actually it's time to let go. And you know, it's not really all sunk cost because you've run this food craving business for how long now? How many years?
Off and on for 20.
Okay. So look at everything you know about marketing, sales, running a business, working with clients, getting client results. All of that knowledge goes with you. So actually, this next business will be so much easier to set up and get going from scratch because while you're not bringing the assets, you're bringing the skills, experience, wisdom that you've gained in that 20 years to put into the new business. And then whether you decide to sort of go cold turkey it and just stop doing what you were doing and start something new, or whether you decide to transition, what I wouldn't do is you said something about setting up new pages. I wouldn't try and. Actually, no, that's a whole other conversation. Let's not go there.
Can I mention along that line that this is part of the conflict is that I'm using, and it's not open, but I'm using my own name domain. And so I kind of had set up the home page to be Food Mood Money. And I think it hadn't dawned on me then what was happening,
Hmm.
So the idea of like So I've got these pages set up for food, coaching, da da da, and emotional eating, blah blah blah. Is it possible, in your opinion, to kind of have both things going on that site for now? How would you kind of roughly just approach that?
Okay, so I'd have to. This is the sort of thing that I tend to need to look at on a case by case basis, because ideally or logically, they don't really work together. Food cravings and money manifesting, they're not the same. They're not the same thing. It might work to actually change your home page to be all about the money manifesting. Then you could have like something in your top menu that says looking for help with food cravings, where they can click through to the food cravings bit to begin with. But I think that long term, you're going to struggle with that mixed message, because it's like, well, what's she really all about then? You tend to get known to be one thing or another, and as soon as you're two things, you dilute the impact of that. If
Yeah.
you pop a link to your website in the Facebook group, I'm not going to do it now on the call, just for the sake of keeping the call, the session moving. But if you pop a link in the Facebook group, I can have a glance at it for you tomorrow and let you know what I think.
It's not open at the moment, so
The website's not open.
yeah, it's and I think this is part of what's been holding me up from getting on with that. So
What does
thank
that
you.
mean that it's not open? It's
Yeah.
down.
It's not yeah, it's not live.
Okay, so how long has it been not live?
Oh, don't ask.
Okay, but I mean, I'm just thinking, well, if it's not live anyway, not going to hurt anything by taking it down.
No, but it's like it's another thing that's stopping me from making it live. So, it's just that.
And what if I said, and this is just devil's advocate, and this is just to see how you respond. What if I said, just take down all the food craving stuff. Don't throw it away. You can away good. I mean, I don't know if you do your own web stuff or not, but you can take the content and the URL and just hang it somewhere else by right now. So you don't get rid of it forever. You just move it off. Set up the site as the money manifestation, just fully all about that. How would you feel about that?
Terrified, but do you know what? I'm up for it. I'm up for trying that.
If actually I can see in your face when you said terrified, you also sort of smiled a little bit as well. I have this feeling that you're terrified, but it also feels right.
I think I've got that thing going on of the excitement and the fit. It's the two sides of the same coin. And I certainly hadn't thought about what you've just proposed. So yeah, I'm definitely going to sit with that. Thank you.
Yeah, and also bear in mind, Jane, I haven't spoken to you for a number of years. This is a call where you drop in and I don't have tons of context. So, I've just shared some thoughts and opinions, but I haven't looked at what you've currently got. So just, take that into account as well, and don't go and do anything that doesn't don't go and do anything drastic that doesn't feel good to you. But doing something drastic when deep down you feel it's true and you feel excited, that might be the right course of action, and only you can judge that. But I think it will be hard for you to. I just don't think hedging your bets over a long period of time is going to work. Trying to be both at once, I just think you will find that you just don't move that forward.
Great. Thank you. Good
Very
to
welcome. Thank you for your
know.
question.
Appreciate that.
Right. Okay. I'm just going to check how many more questions we've got, just so. Oh, thank you for your comment, Leslie. I think Leslie's had to go, but left me a lovely comment. Thank you very much. And Julie's in the same boat as you, Jane. Of course, she just spent 30 years as an interior designer and project manager, and she's just done a 360 to become a men's coach. She's actually got a brand new website, all just about the coaching, nothing about the interior design. I've known Julie as an interior designer for the last I met her 13 years ago when we were both in a program working on our businesses together. Okay, great. So not loads of questions left at the moment, which is good. And Evgenia, yeah, thank you for your comment. And yeah, actually I had to walk away from that nutritional therapy because I tried not to. Like, I really pushed on with it for a long time because I put so much into it. I basically committed everything on this thing, but it just didn't feel right. And I couldn't shake that feeling that it just didn't feel right. And I've always been somebody that when something doesn't feel right, I just can't, I can't not take the action. So yeah, thank you. So there's a question from Marlies. I hope I've pronounced that correctly. Marlies, do you want to come and unmute yourself?
Oh, yeah, hello. Good
Hello,
evening.
have I pronounced your name correctly?
Yeah, that's correct, Malise. Yes.
Marlies, okay, lovely. And do you want to introduce yourself and what your business is all about at the moment, even though I hear you're just starting out?
Yes, yeah. So I'm just starting my coaching business. It's just qualifying at the moment. So it's really early stages. But yeah, I was just basically thinking of positioning myself, and I've got some clients which are also paying clients, but quite low paying clients at the moment. So I'm kind of thinking where should I start getting my clients? So I charge for packages, but I find it quite hard without a base. With I haven't started social media, don't have a mailing list. I've asked all family and
Let
friends.
me stop you there.
Yeah.
You said to me that you cannot get any clients until you've got a social media presence and a mailing list. I would be telling you, well, hold up, because actually, believing that you have to have a social media presence and a mailing list before you can get clients is actually doing things the wrong way around. And the way that I teach it in the pathway, did you listen to the training from this morning, the introduction to the Business from the Heart pathway?
Yes.
So you'll see that in that pathway, stage one is about getting your first two paying clients. Now, what I didn't make clear, no, I did, I said it, but that is not single sessions or low-cost clients. That's proper money, chunky money, money that's actually going to make a difference to your business. And only once you've proved that the business actually has legs, that actually you have something and you know how to sell it and people want to buy it from you, only then is it worth going out in and going to the trouble of building all these online assets. Interestingly, your question is going to be answered by tomorrow's session, which is the five essential steps to getting paying clients. So definitely watch that as well, because what I'm not going to try and do is like teach all of that now as well, because I'm covering that tomorrow. So I guess the first thing I want to ask you is, you want to find clients willing to pay for higher priced coaching packages. How do you define higher priced? What does higher priced mean to you?
Well, it's just basically on the lines of what you said before. Like, I guess I have to work myself up. I'm not expecting, I don't know, just from charging nothing basically to, okay, give me £3,000 for my a coaching package or more. So I accept that it's like a gradual stage. But
Is that what you're thinking, though? Where am I going to get clients to pay me £3,000? Is that the question?
no.
No.
No. It's just basically just about what is a higher price. So £3,000 would be higher price for me. So
Okay.
at the moment, charging £60 or £80 for like a session, and then I don't know, starting to charge for seven or as a package. That's where I'm at the moment. But I'm just not sure where to start to get these clients through the door, so I can increase my confidence, and then I don't know, gradually increase my fees as well.
It very much, as with a fair amount of what I teach, a lot of it, not all of it, but a lot of it comes back to your ideal client when it comes to, because basically you're talking about marketing. The marketing is, how do I attract clients who are in a bracket where they're willing to pay these higher fees? Selling, you don't need to sell any differently. Your sales process will be the same, but it's more about how am I going to attract these people? So it always starts with your ideal client. So you say you're fairly new to your coaching business. Have you done any work or given any thought to an ideal client profile or a niche or a specialism?
Yes, I did put some thought into it. But at the moment, there's so many things I'm still interested in, so I have troubles to narrow it down a bit. So I guess that's part of the problem, I guess, to kind
Yeah,
of like.
this is part of the this is part of the problem. Because if you say, I'm a coach and I can help everybody who wants to make change with anything they want to change, it's great, but it's a very, very broad message. And it first of all, it's not gonna land super strongly with any one person, but similarly, it's not very targeted. It could be reaching anybody. So somebody might come across that message. And they might be a single mum who's currently on benefits, and they wouldn't be able to afford to pay you. Maybe even they might struggle to pay you £50 a month because they've got to use every penny they've got to feed their kids and just pay the electricity, pay the utility bills. And so, again, if you feel passionate about working with young offenders who've recently come out of prison. Again, this is not a group of people who tend to have a large amount of disposable income. So it does come down to your ideal client. And this is one of the things I talk about when I talk about pricing, that you're the pricing that's there is no rule about pricing. And you can charge whatever you want. But if you have certain like financial goals for yourself and a certain financial income. And for a lot of people, when they leave their, when they start a business, they want to replace their salary. I know that's what I wanted. I wanted a 100K business because I wanted to replace what I was earning in my job. And so if you know that actually there is a certain financial goal, let's say I go back to the £6,000 a month example from the beginning, and you know that you want to sell packages that are going to be about £3,000 per package. Your ideal client has to intersect with that. So you then need to be targeting an ideal client group that have the that are likely to have the funds to see the value of investing those funds in their personal growth and their personal development. So your ideal client, and then when your ideal client is really clear, it doesn't somehow become a problem in the same way. So just for the sake of this call, whatever answer you give me is not your niche and this is not what you're going to have to focus on. But based on what I've just said there, if you had to choose an ideal client right now, what would you choose?
I think I like to work with people which are really exhausted from their work, so they kind of on the brink to burnout, and finding a better way to deal with work or potentially change also how they're working.
And what sort of job are they doing?
Something in the corporate world could be
Okay. Yeah. What level of management are they at?
kind of mid management, as well. I mean, could be anything, I guess, but that's not what you want to hear.
No, what are they earning? If they're in mid management, what's their annual salary, roughly?
About around the 100,000.
Okay, great. So I'm going to go a step further just for the example, and I'm going to say financial services. We could say legal, we could not specify at all. But let's imagine that you're now your coaching services exist to serve and support people who are in middle and senior management in financial services. You know they're typically earning upwards of 100,000 a year, and they're absolutely exhausted, on the brink of burnout, possibly at risk of giving it, seriously thinking about giving it all up, but worried about all their commitments to the mortgage and the kids and all of that stuff. Now, do you still have the same worry about how am I going to find them?
I guess not so much. I mean, yeah, I have more an idea.
It comes easier, doesn't it? Because now it's targeted. It's like, okay, so this is a defined group of people. They have a defined type of a job, and I'm not going to go into this, we're not, the specifics of of marketing right now, but you basically then need to think, okay, I know what type of people I want to get my message in front of, and now I'm going to do activity that's going to get my message in front of those people. So likely, if you're on social media, you're going to be on LinkedIn and you're not going to be on TikTok, for example. Likely, if you're going to go business networking, you're going to go to some professional event in the city and not go to your local therapist's meetup. And you see how it starts to target. And then what happens is that the more you work with a particular group of clients, the more word spreads. So those clients recommend you to other clients, or you get brought into their company to give a talk, or you build up more of a profile, more of a following, and you just become more and more established. So where I said this morning, one of the hardest things that anyone will ever do in business is enroll their first two paying one-to-one clients. It's one of the hard, it's probably the hardest thing you will ever do, is those first two clients into a decent paying program package retainer. Once you've got those first two, things just start to develop from there. And it will maybe go slowly, it might go quickly. But when you've set your ideal client as somebody who automatically, by the very fact of them being an ideal client, can afford your services and sees the value in paying for your services, I always say both willing and able to pay you, suddenly it becomes so much easier and it's not so mysterious. But if you stand in the middle of the street in your local area and go, right, which of all of these people can pay me £3,000? That's when it becomes really hard.
Yeah.
Make sense?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you
Okay,
very much.
great. Thank you for your question. And then, of course, with your question then about social media presence, mailing list, that sort of thing then follows later. But in my pathway, the mailing list doesn't come until stage two. So you don't really need, there's no point building a mailing list if you need clients, right? Mailing lists are about the long term of your business, moving away from hand to mouth to having some more control over that flow of clients. So when I wanted to get people into this experience week, I basically bombarded my mailing list with emails for a week, and I'm going to continue to do so for another week, like literally bombarding. I didn't have to go out networking or on social media one by one by one by one, trying to one by one find people to come in here. I literally emailed my mailing list. So the email list is about helping you to become, to move away from that hand to mouth and not ever knowing quite where the next client is coming from. But at the very beginning, you don't want to build a mailing list before you can get a client, because you might be waiting 6 months or 12 months before you get the client. You just need to go get the clients and do it the easy way. Okay, great. Thank you. Big, lots of big conversations. Okay, so where are we? Oh, Jennifer has a question, more of a process question. So, how do we nominate ourselves for the hot seat session tomorrow? So, tomorrow morning, is it morning? I'd have to go and log on to the system, but tomorrow morning we will be emailing you and asking you to fill out a hot seat form. And it's the same hot seat form we use inside the membership. And it just asks you a few questions about what you would like to have help with. And then when we have that form back in, I think we send the email out at around 11. I think it's straight after the morning session. That's why I think it's about 11. And then we give you a deadline within a couple of hours to submit the form. And then me and Angie, who's my membership manager, we then select three hotties to go in the hot seat tomorrow evening. And whether you get selected or not, you will get a point for filling out the hot seat form. And you'll also get some clarity, interestingly enough. So the hot seat form is not designed to solve whatever the issue is, but what a lot of people say is just the very process of filling it out and answering some of those questions just helps give them sort of insights and things. So yeah, you will nominate yourself tomorrow. Just keep an eye out on your emails in the morning. I think it's around 11. I know I probably should know that. I'm having a very hands-off launch experience this time for the first time, actually, in many years. So I've got my membership manager. There's a lady called Angie, and she's been my membership manager now for about the last 3.5 years. And she joined specifically to help me with the membership and support our members and ensure the smooth running of it. And then in March this year, she stepped up to become my overall business manager. And over the years, I've always struggled to find somebody who's really good at helping me run the business. And so I've run many, many launches, but they've always been very stressful and difficult for me behind the scenes. And this year, because I really trust Angie and she's super organized and super conscientious, I've handed it all over to her. So I'm having a much more hands-off launch than I normally do, which is why I don't have the answers to some of the more intricate questions. And also, I've just been through a number of years of health challenges, which have been quite difficult, and I'm wanting to move away from needing to do as much in the business myself because I don't think my health is unpredictable anymore. I definitely feel like I'll come out the other side, but it really woke me up to the fact that I can't 100%, none of us, we can't 100% rely on our health just being there when we wake up every morning. And so it becomes, how can I make this business so much easier for me so that if I'm not able to show up on a particular day, it's still going to run? And that's something we've been working on really now for the past couple of years. But this is my first hands-off version of doing this business from the heart experience week. And when I said launch, for any of you who don't know what I'm talking about, this is like part of an online launch. I do this event, these events for free all week. I'm here, I'm available to help you like with all of my heart and all my knowledge and all my expertise, just as if you were in the membership. I do it just for 1 week of the year. And then, the idea is that some of you, as a result of this, decide that you want to continue and come into the membership to have this all year round, and others of you won't. And this is the way that one of the ways that I attract new people into the membership. So, and Anita says, how many secret words do we put into the form? Is it all of them? Yes. So the idea of the secret word is to give people an opportunity to be in with the running for the prizes, even if they're only watching the recording. So if you are somebody who's live and you're live, you get a point for being live and you get a point for the secret word form. And there's a word. So there's five events this week, one every morning and one every afternoon. And there's a word for each of those. So at the end of the week, there will be 10 words and you put them all into the form. And you can either put them in as you go, you can say the form will save. So you can put them into the form and the form will save itself. And you can just go back and add the next one, or you can save them all up to the end of the week. There's just one word that you're not going to have to enter because the meetup on Wednesday lunchtime, the member meetup, we don't record it. We can't record it because it's private conversations between members. And so for that one, we give you the word. We give everybody the word, and everybody gets a point for that word. So you will be collecting 9 words over the course of the week. So hope that happens. Julie hasn't found the form yet. That's interesting. I want to say it's in every email we have sent you. But it can't be, or you would have seen it. So, Julie, thank you for flagging that you haven't found it. Right, I tell you what, if you go to Kath. Oh, somebody's found it. Malia has found it. Thank you, Malia. There should be a short, and there should be a shortcut. There's a shortcut URL to get to that form as well. I just can't think of what it is. But hang on a sec. Let me just go. So on the page, katherinewatkin.com/prizes, if you, that page, katherinewatkin.com/prizes, has got all of the prizes listed on it. I'll put that into the chat box. And if you scroll down to the bottom of that page, I'm pretty sure there's a link to the form. Yeah, there's a click here for the secret word form, but there is a shorter URL for that. There's like a shortcut URL. I'll need to get Angie to find that for me in the morning and we'll put it in the Facebook group. So, yeah, thanks for flagging that that hadn't been obvious, Julie. I think the problem with something like this week is we have so many emails going out. We want to let you know when the next event is. We want to let you know how to find the recordings. We want to let you know about the prizes. And somehow we've got so many. I don't know, probably easy to not realize that we haven't made one of those things clear enough. So thank you for flagging that. Okay,
To
how are
be
we?
fair, Catherine, I may just have missed it because I've been so busy. I've skated through, thought, right, there's a Zoom link. That's that bit. And I haven't necessarily read everything, but everyone's been talking about the form, and I'm thinking, I haven't seen anything obvious, and I normally do. So don't worry, I've got it now. Thank
Good.
you.
And if I was more organized, I would have come with a link. So when you ask me,
Don't worry, you're
obviously,
having a soft launch this time.
I am. And I think we are, it's very much, irrespective of the outcome of how many people join the membership, for us as a team, this is a really good sort of experiment in how smooth can we get this? How easy can this be? It's never going to be completely easy because coming and doing a live session at 10 a.m. and then doing another one at 7 p.m. You'll see by the end of the week, like my eyes will be like, you'll see me on Friday, I'll be like this. But I've done this many times before, so and I love it. I absolutely love doing it. I get to the end of the week and I always think, why did I commit to quite so much? But I do love it, so it's all good. And I love meeting all the new people as well because, in the membership, the wonderful thing about the membership is just how long people stay, and it's fabulous. And it's always also nice to meet fresh people and learn about new businesses and start getting to know new folks as well. So how is everybody doing? Are you all happy? What about those of you who, so actually, before I say that, don't forget that there will be a post in the Facebook group asking you what are your takeaways from this call this evening? And you didn't have to come and speak with me to get a takeaway. Some of you will have had an insight or an aha or a realization about something just from listening to the conversations. You do get a point towards the prizes for filling in that takeaways. Now, as you can imagine, some of you end up with a lot of points for this. And we've got one of my team, Jen. It's her job every single day. She's going through the group, through the Zoom calls, and she's literally keeping spreadsheets and totting up every single interaction in the Facebook group, every time you attend something. And it's quite fun. And then we get to the end of the week. We did this once before. This is only our second time doing the prizes. We get to the end of the week and we got really big numbers of points for some people. And then someone has the job of totting it all up and figuring out who's actually won the prizes. So it's great fun. And you know what? If you throw yourself in fully and you attend absolutely everything and you comment on every post in the Facebook group purely with the intention of winning all the prizes, the side effect of that is you're going to win the biggest prize of all anyway, because you're going to learn all this stuff that's going to help your business, which is going to be just as valuable as any of the prizes are going to be. Taggart says, happy but need to disappear. Yes, you're welcome. Thank you for being here. I'm glad you found the session illuminating. Do come back on Thursday. We'll do another session like this on Thursday evening. Tomorrow will be the hot seats. Now, only three people will be in a hot seat tomorrow, but it is still 100% worth attending. We try and select the hot seats. So I'm hoping we'll have a good range of applications. And we try and select the hot seats so that they are covering a range of different stages of business. So we try and choose an early stage, a mid stage, and a more advanced business. We try and choose a range of different business types, a range of different type of questions, so that we have quite a good spread of different things to dig into, which means that there's a learning opportunity for everybody. We also don't tend to select hot seats that are very, very specific. So if somebody brings a question and that question is really, the answer to that question is only going to help them because it's really specific to one person and it's not going to have wider teaching value for the rest of the group, we tend to not choose those either. We might do inside the membership sometimes, but typically we're looking for using the hot seats as an opportunity to share that knowledge with the wider group, even though we're just hot sitting one individual. And you've seen a little bit how that works this evening because, I spoke to Jane and Marlies and Cornelia, and, they're like that, but we have longer. We have 20 to 30 minutes per person. So we can get in a bit of a bigger deep dive. And like where Tabitha said, oh, I don't want to get into it now because of time. Tabitha, if you end up in a hot seat tomorrow, we have the time. We can explore what we need to explore. So thank you so much, everybody. Really happy that you're here. Ella, lovely Ella says, speaking of how long people stay, I'm a founding member, which means Ella, I'm shocked by this myself, but if you're a founding member, you've been in the membership for 7 years. 7 years. I swear when I started this membership, I thought that if I did a really good job, people might stay for 2 or 3 years. No, actually, I thought if I did a really good job, people might stay for 2 years. And we've got a really large number of members who've been with us for 6 or 7 years. So sometimes I just want to say, why? Why are you still here? In the nicest possible way. But I think it says something about, they're getting that value from being part of it for so long. And Julia, you were a member for a while and then you left for a while and you've had a transition in what you've been doing, but you were originally in for 4 years. Great. Yeah, thank you, Ella. Oh, lovely. So we will wrap up and I will be here at 10 a.m. tomorrow morning with how to get paying clients in five essential steps. Or five essential steps to getting new paying clients. And it's really just a little bit like with the Business from the Heart pathway this morning. It's just breaking down. These are the pieces that you need to have in place. And you need to have them in place in this order if going out and getting clients is going to happen. And the fifth step is to do with your marketing. And it's totally the opposite of how most people are going about attracting clients, because most people are starting with the marketing and then wondering why it isn't converting into clients. But actually, if you start with the first four steps, and it's really relatively simple, like the theory of it is very simple. I know the execution of it is more difficult because stuff gets in the way and mindset gets in the way. And sometimes there's a matter of trial and error and figuring out what's actually really going to work for you. But the theory of it is really, really simple. These five steps, get these things in place, go do this thing, and you'll start to attract clients. And I just like to break it down into that really. It's almost like I often say that attracting clients and getting clients is actually easier than most people are making it out to be, because most people seem to be going about it in a more complicated way than it really needs to be. A little bit like Marley saying, how am I going to get high paying clients if I haven't got an email list? It's that belief, oh, I have to have the complicated stuff in place first. Whereas actually, what if you could do it the simplest possible way? What's the quickest and easiest way from a standing start right now here today? What's the quickest and easiest way I could go and get a new paying client? And coming at it from that angle instead. So we will have a look at that tomorrow, tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. And yeah, thank you all. Thank you for your co thank you, Cornelia, saying it's inspiring. And yeah, thank you. Yes, and indeed, Jennifer, thank you everyone for the questions, because honestly, if I didn't have the questions, I couldn't do my job. I rely on the questions. So thank you for the brilliant questions, because it's the questions that prompt the teaching, and then that's how everybody gets to learn. So we'll log off and I will see some of you bright and early, 10 a.m. tomorrow morning, and I'll see some of you on the hot seat tomorrow evening. Lots of love, everyone. Bye. Bye-bye. Bye.